الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أمين يا رب العالمين. ثم أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الطلاق مرتان، فإمساك بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان، ولا يحل لكم أن تأخذوا مما آتيتموهن شيئا إلا أن يخافا ألا يقيما حدود الله، فإن خفتم ألا يقيما حدود الله فلا جناح عليهما فيما افتدت به، تلك حدود الله فلا تعتدوها ومن يتعدى حدود الله فأولئك هم الظالمون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Once again everyone, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're starting from ayah number 229 today, and hopefully we get to ayah number 233. That's the goal, to get to this evening, inshallah. Here Allah Azza wa Jal will now tell us some further regulations about how divorce is to be conducted. Allah starts by saying, "Talaqu marratan." By the way, just to remind you and myself, the word talaq from the verb talaqa actually means to set free. Talaqa means to set free or to release. And the reason that's used is because when a man accepts a woman in marriage, that's called uqdatun nikah. It's the knot, the tie of marriage. The marriage is something that ties a man and a woman together. And now that knot has been set free. So that's the correlation from a language point of view. Another issue here is the one who has alladhi biyadihi uqdatun nikah. We're going to see that phrase later on today. About the man, the husband, the way Allah describes the husband is, he says, the one who has the knot in his hands. The one who has the knot in his hands. So I want you to imagine an image. Two people are tied to each other. They're connected to each other. But the one who has the knot in his hands actually is in a position to let go or keep holding on, isn't it? So that's why the husband's actually given this advantage that we talked about yesterday. That he's actually got that authority within the marriage. But then what are the checks and balances on that? That's what we're going to see today. It's not an absolute authority. How is a woman supposed to be free if she doesn't want to be in the marriage anymore? Those are the kinds of subjects that will come up today, inshallah. So anyway, at-talaqu marratan, that freedom, that divorce, that release from that knot, can happen in a revocable way, in a reversible way, two times. What that means is, if somebody gets divorced, we already saw thalathat quru, there's 3 months or 3 cycle waiting period, right? Within that time, what can he do? Take her back. Maybe then a year later, 2 years later, it happens again. He divorces her again. He still has another 3 months to take her back. But that's it. He can only do that kind of thing twice. Twice. If he does it a third time, immediately the marriage is over. And there's no taking her back. Okay? So Allah says there's a limit on this. At-talaqu marratan, fa-imsakun bima'rufin. Then you better hold on to them. Holding on should happen in a way that's dignified. Imsakun bima'ruf. This is actually, it requires a lot of attention. Because in the Arabic language, when you command someone, you can say, amsikuhunna. And the verb is coming later on too. Amsikuhunna bima'rufin, aw sarrihuhunna bima'rufin. Hold on to them in a dignified way, or let them go in a dignified way. But this is not a command. This is actually a noun. Imsakun bima'rufin. It's a masdar. And what does that mean in simple language? It's essentially like, you might see a sign that says, do not smoke. Or a teacher might say, do not talk. That's a prohibition. But when a teacher says, no talking. No talking is a lot stronger than what? Do not talk. Okay? Or when the sign says, no smoking. Or no entry. Instead of saying, do not enter. Do not enter is a prohibition. But no entry is far stronger a kind of prohibition. It's far more serious. Okay? So when Quran says, imsakun bima'ruf, and by the way, this is the kind of language Allah will use about parents also, even though that's a maf'ul mutlaq. Wabil walidaini ihsanan. It's not wabil walidaini ahsinu. It's wabil walidaini ihsanan. It's with parents, instead of saying be excellent, he says with parents, excellence. The noun excellence. Here, holding on. Meaning when you hold on to a woman, Allah is saying in very strong language, this better be a kind of holding on that is dignified, bima'rufin. You better recognize the norms of marriage. In other words, a woman has to be dignified, protected, honored, taken care of, not humiliated, not abused in any way. You better do that if you're going to take her back. In other words, you know, when divorce happens, obviously things went bad between the two of them. Arguments happened, quarrels happened, hatred happened, they don't get along, they're living under the same house, under the same roof, but they have no relationship with each other. They only speak or think ill of each other. They go to sleep upset with one another. We already know, some of you are probably familiar with the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when a husband goes to sleep upset with his wife, the angels are cursing her the entire... Why would you wish that on another Muslim? Day after day after day. Year after year after year. You know? And then there are some people who are forcing, no, they should stay married, they should stay married. But look at what they're doing to each other. They're only making each other more miserable. And maybe they weren't making each other miserable, maybe they had a good relationship, but things went bad. Something happened and a fight happened in the family, or there was some miscommunication, she said something, he took it the wrong way, or he said something, she took it the wrong way, or maybe they took it exactly the right way, and that's what the problem is. Something happened that took the relationship south, and now a divorce has happened. When a husband pronounces divorce, it's not an easy thing for a woman to hear. You know, in rare cases, let me just tell you, in rare cases, a divorce is mutual. The rare cases, both husband and wife decided, you know what, this isn't working, we should both part ways. The normal case is one of them wants to leave and the other one wants to stay. One of them says, I don't want this anymore, and the other says, why are you going? You can't go. You have to stay. In other words, one of the parties is going to be very, very upset. Very, very angry. How could you do this to me? How dare you? That's going to be the case. That's the normal case, actually. That it's going to be a contentious issue. So now if time comes to take back, obviously there are scars. When you're going to take her back, within that time period, she's in her mind, I will never forget what you said to me, what you did to me, how you made me feel, the things you brought up. How embarrassed I was, how humiliated I was, how I had to hear things from my family, how I had to hear things from my friends. All of that's in her head. What's in his head? I can't believe I'm taking you back. After everything you've done and what you've said and, you know, you better not make me angry again because I don't have that threshold anymore. This is all in his head. So now with all this tension, even though they're coming back, it's not like they got married the first time. It's not like, you know, when you get married, the first day of your marriage, first week of your marriage, you're like, you're seeing dizzy, you know, you're like happy, like, you know, somebody asks you about your wife and you're like, a preview of Jannah. But after a divorce has happened and you're taking her back and somebody says, so how's the wife? You know, there's a rage inside you. Allah says, if you're going to take her back, it better be in a dignified way. If you're going to hold on to a grudge, if you're going to bring out fights again, if you're going to make her miserable again and make yourself miserable again, don't bother. Don't do it. Imsakun bi ma'roof. And if you're not capable of that, if you can't, and by the way, the remarkable language of Quran, there's two words here, there's ma'roof and ihsan. Let's compare them. Ma'roof means socially acceptable. Dignified, socially acceptable, good. Ihsan means the highest levels of excellence. The very best that you can be. Allah is saying, fine, Allah acknowledges there's going to be scars, maybe ihsan is not possible. If you take her back after a divorce has happened, maybe you can't be the very, very best that you were, is the husband that you can be. Maybe you can just get to a point where you can make it work. You're still dignified with each other, there's still some level of love, some level of tolerance, good enough. You can make it work, good enough. But Allah is not expecting perfection. Nor is Allah expecting the most beautiful kind of marriage, because obviously you're coming back and there's still scars from what happened before. So the Quran is realistic and says, فَإِمْسَاكُنْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. Take them back, you better take them back, and that taking back better be in some dignified way that's socially acceptable. That's dignified, that's norm, that's good. But if when you're going to let them go though, if you don't want to take them back, what's the other option? Let them go. Then when you let them go, Allah could have said, فَإِمْسَاكٌ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. Let them go in a hold on to them in a dignified way, and let them go in a dignified way. But no, letting them go, just letting them go in an acceptable way is not enough. That's not good enough to Allah. When you let the woman go in divorce, you have to have the highest moral character. You have to display the highest of manners. And that's actually above, far above and beyond ma'roof, The word for that would be ihsan. You know how there are degrees of obedience to Allah? There's Islam, and a higher closeness to Allah is iman. And the most closeness to Allah is تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ, that you worship Allah like almost like you can see Him. And that's ihsan. Allah says, تَسْرِيحُدْ بِإِحْسَانِ, let that woman go with ihsan. You're letting her go, but you have Allah very close to you. You're watching everything you say and do as if Allah is right there watching you. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. If you can't see Him, then He's the one who sees you. This is divorcing with ihsan. There's no cursing. There's no foul language. There's no good riddance. There's not even actually, even a normal divorce isn't good enough. It's actually out of the way, mercy, kindness, gifts, dua, prayers, courtesy to her family. There's all these gestures of courtesy. Look, we couldn't be married anymore. We couldn't stay in this relationship. I couldn't be in it and fulfill my obligations as a husband, or I didn't feel that you could do your job as a wife, whatever the reasons were. That we couldn't get along anymore, we couldn't make this work anymore. That doesn't mean you're not a believer and I'm not a believer. And that doesn't mean that we weren't so, so close. Maybe we even have children together. That means we have a huge part of our lives that we shared with each other. Which means that you are one of the great ni'mah in my life, even if you're not my wife anymore. Even then you're a great blessing in my life, for which I must be grateful. For which I will have to answer to Allah. And so I will have to treat you with the highest, highest kind of manners at the time of divorce if I'm going to let you go. أو تسريحٌ بإحسان. You know? This is, even the idea of تسريح is actually an easy letting go. تسريح itself, صرحة, to let go something with ease, comfort. To make this traumatic experience comfortable. To make sure that every one of her, you know, nobody in your family goes out and sends her hate emails and, you know, posts nasty things on WhatsApp about her, this and that, you know. When people get divorced, things get so ugly, not just between two people, between their families. One side or the other. And it doesn't, if you're a man and you're reading these ayat, even if her family has said the worst things, and done the worst thing, you stay quiet. You hold on to ihsan because Allah was talking to you right now. Allah was talking to you. But it's remarkable that in this ayah, Allah said, إِمْسَاكٌ بِمَعْرُوفٌ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٌ, holding on in a dignified way, letting go with ihsan, with excellence, without a verb, it means it doesn't have a subject. You know what that means? It applies to everybody involved. It applies to the man and the woman. If you're going to get held back, you better demonstrate the best dignified character. If you're going to be let go, you better be dignified also. You better not leave and say, I'm going to show you what it means to humiliate you. I'm going to make sure nobody, you know, looks at you with respect ever again. Except you don't have a vendetta in your heart when you're being let go. Either man or woman cannot have it. This is the emphatic commandment of Allah. Now about this ayah, there's a lot of controversy also. Because people say when somebody's angry, a husband is angry, he turns to his woman and says, talaq, talaq, talaq. Chalo, chutti. Done. I said it 3 times, goodbye. Because Allah says, the one you can take back is how many times? Twice. So if you're Pakistani, you usually say it 3 times. You know? And then later on, you know, I was mad at the time, I just said it, I didn't really mean it, you know. لَمَ تَعَمَّدْ, I didn't have the full intent to say it, or, well now you go to somebody who says, I mean, I said it 3 times, so can you make it count as one? You know? And then he says, no, I can't. Then you go to somebody else, and no, I can't, and no, somebody, you know, but this is not a new thing. Surprisingly, Pakistanis did not invent this. This has been happening for centuries. Let me tell you what the original ayah is about before I come to that problem. When Allah said, a reversible divorce can happen how many times? Twice. Listen to this. كَانَ الرَّجُلُ إِذَا طَلَّقَ إِمْرَأَتَهُ ثُمَّ ارْتَجَعَهَا قَبْلَ أَن تَنْقَضِيَ عِدَّتُهَا كَانَ ذَلِكَ لَهُ. This is in Muwatta of Imam Malik, Musnad al-Shafi'i, al-Tirmidhi also. A man back in the day before Islam used to divorce his wife. And there was actually in the Arabic norm a waiting period also. And within that waiting period, he used to take her back. كَانَ ذَلِكَ لَهُ. Fine, he gets to keep her. وَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا أَلْفَ مَرَّةٍ. And even if he did that 1,000 times, meaning, I hate you, you're divorced, go. 2 weeks later, come back. She has to come back. Then 3 weeks later, I divorce you, go get out of here. I don't want to ever see your face again. Then a month later, come back. He keeps throwing her out, bringing her back. Throwing her out, bringing her back. And even if he did that 1,000 times. You know, وَإِن طَلَّقَهَا أَلْفَ مَرَّةٍ فَعَمَدَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى امْرَأَتِهِ فَطَلَّقَهَا حَتَّى إِذَا مَا شَارَفَتْ إِنْقِضَاءَ عِدَّتِهَا إِرْتَجَعَهَا ثُمَّ طَلَّقَهَا. As soon as she approached the end of her cycle, she's about to be released and be a free woman, she can marry somebody else. He says, no, 2 days before your day's over, your cycle's over, I'm taking you back. Like he lets her feel like she's about to be free, and then tortures her again. And lets her feel that she's about to be free, and tortures her again. ثُمَّ قَالْ وَاللَّهِ لَا أَوِيكِ إِلَيَّ وَلَا تَحِلِّينَ أَبَدًا. Let me tell you something, woman. Wallahi, I will never be a good husband to you. I'm never gonna give you comfort. You'll never find protection with me. And I will never set you free either. You will be miserable. Like this guy is sadistic, and he just wants to torture this woman by throwing her out and pulling her back in. That's what he's doing. That's what Allah responded to and said, if you are to divorce a woman and want to take her back, I will let you get away with it how many times in your lifetime? Twice. That's it. Twice. A third time it's done with. It's over with. You don't get to treat a woman that way. And then, so now, this is the original context of the ayah. What have we turned this into? Allah says you should say talaq, talaq, talaq. Or Allah says one time or three times. This became a legalistic issue. And the Hanafi ulama had the position that somebody who says talaq three times like that has done an act of haram. That's actually the position of the Hanafi scholars. That they say that this, somebody saying talaq multiple times like that, is haram. And that's a deeply sinful act. However, they still consider it valid. So it did count as final, according to the Hanafi school of thought. The other schools of thought are also pretty much in agreement with this, that it's sinful and that it counts. The only exception to that is Hafidh ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, who actually held the view that it is, because it says marratan, and that's actually the rationale of the Hanafis also, marratan means on two occasions. Marra, at a particular occasion. So they say that the talaq has to be at two different occasions. And the fact that you made it one occasion is you did something haram. Ibn Taymiyyah goes further from that argument and says, no, because it says marratan, it can only be considered a valid separate divorce if it happened at two separate occasions. So if you sat there and said talaq 1,000 times sitting there in front of your, you know, wife, you know, in one sitting, you said it 1,000 times, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah still counts it only as once. I should share with you, I asked this question of, our teacher, Dr. Akram Nadwi, and he also inclines towards the position of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, even though he's a Hanafi scholar. But he inclines towards Ibn Taymiyyah's position on this. That when, you know, people have turned this into a matter of abuse, they should be reminded that they shouldn't play with the word of Allah like this. And this sacred thing, mithaq and ghaliza, this covenant of marriage like this. But if they do it, that he says that it can be taken back. Because it's at one occasion. Instead of the number of words that are said, it's the occasion or the instant of it. In any case, وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَأْخُذُوا مِمَّا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ شَيْئًا. It's not permissible for you, Allah says, that you take anything that you had ever given them. If you divorce them, you give her a car, you gave her, you know, jewelry, you gave her an account, this is an account in her name. Anything you put in her name, anything you even verbally said you gave her. Maybe the car is in your name, but you said to her, but this is for you. You just said it like that. Then don't use Texas state law and say, actually, the title's in my name. You said it. But you said it was for me. You got it for our anniversary. Yeah, but I didn't put it in your name. No, whatever you gave her, and it's literally the wording of the ayah is, whatever you've given them, not whatever you signed off in their name. Whatever you've given them, you can't take back. You cannot take back. On this note, I should compare modern law, some things about modern law, and the Islamic law about the assets, the division of assets, what divorce lawyers call community. Community meaning in Texas, for example, if a divorce happens, then in many parts of the country, in other countries too, the assets are divided 50-50. So long as you are married, from the time of marriage to the time of divorce, whatever you're worth, whatever savings you have, whatever you have, let's do an assessment of it and divide it 50-50. 50 goes to the woman, 50 goes to the man. That is not Sharia. That's not Islamic law. That's maybe Western law, American law, Canadian law, Texan law, etc., etc. What is Islamic law? Islamic law is a couple of things. One, whatever you gave her, she gets to keep. Whatever you gave her, she gets to keep. She doesn't have a right over your earnings. She has a right over what you had given her. The fact that you were already providing for her during the course of the marriage, you've already been compensating her for that. If she was, however, a partner, you know, this happens too. If she was a partner in your business, like a lot of times married couples, they start up a gas station or something, you know, and they're both working. They've both put in blood, sweat, and labor. In that case, she is a partner. That even Islamic law will say she's entitled to because she's a partner. But as a wife, she's entitled to whatever had already been put in her name, whatever had already been given to her, granted to her as a gift, and that's the end of it. There are some additional compensations. Those have to do with feeding a child or raising a child, etc. Because child support in the Quranic sense is actually entirely a man's responsibility. Child support from being a baby onwards is entirely not, you get a stipend for child support. Everything about the support of a child, rizquhunna, rizq and kiswa, meaning all provision and clothing, education, protection, housing, clothing, all of it is a responsibility of the father, as a matter of fact. Okay? So those are a couple of things. Now what happens is, human greed is human greed. So a Muslim woman gets divorced in a Western country. Right? And the lawyers say, hey, we can get you 50% of everything. She says, yeah, give me. And then she's reminded by somebody, actually, Sharia says, you should not take that. You should actually forego that and just take what you're entitled to, whatever was in your name, whatever was actually given to you, but not 50% of everything. That would actually be considered you taking a property that doesn't belong to you, the equivalent of stealing. Yeah, but the law says I can do it. And we're going to follow the law of the land. No, the law of the land gave you a permissibility. The argument on following the law of the land works when the law of the land makes an obligation. You cannot use the argument on following the law of the land when the law of the land gives you not an obligation, but a permission. Permission means you are allowed to use it and you're completely within your rights not to use it. You're completely within your rights not to use it. On the flip side of it, it may be some guy has a really good lawyer and he's not even paying child support. That could happen. And if that's happening, he's actually not just, he may be getting away from a legal, Western legal, constitutional standpoint, he's still in violation of Allah's law because he has to provide fully for the child. So either side can actually use other constitutional frameworks because anger is there, vendetta is there, the desire to harm is there, you know, greed may be there, these things may be there, the Book of Allah kind of starts taking a back seat. What does the Quran do to solve this problem? It is not halal for you to take, and by the way, the word you would think it's referring to the husbands, right? It's not halal for you to take whatever you gave those women at all. But look at what the word kum does. Al-khitabu lil-ummah. Ibn Ashur correctly points out that in this ayah, Allah is actually talking to the entire ummah. He's talking to the husband, he's talking to his family, he's talking to her, he's talking to her family, he's talking to the Muslim community, he's talking to the imams, the qudat, the judges, everybody. He's talking to everybody, saying in your family, in your circles, among your friends, if somebody is going out of their way, you are all complicit. If you were okay with it, he didn't say anything. You're supposed to stand up for what Allah Azza wa Jal ordained. لَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ الخطاب للأمة ليأخذ منه كل أفرادها ما يختص به فالزوج يقف عن أخذ المال. This is actually so that every individual takes responsibility as much as it applies to them, and a husband will then hold off from taking what he had given. وولي الأمر يحكم بعدم لزومه. And even the wali al-amr, back in the day used to be a qadi, you know, a judge in Islamic courts and things like that. Nowadays could be elder in your family, it could be a senior in the community, it could be somebody you put trust in. It could be a, you know, congregation of people that will mean well for you from your side or her side or whatever. When families come together, they can become wali al-amr also. وَوَلِيُّ الزَّوْجَةِ أَوْ كَبِيرُ قَبِيلَةِ الزَّوْجِ يَسْعَى وَيَأْمُرُ وَيَنْهَى. That's why the entire larger family or community or tribe back in the day is supposed to get involved so that oppression doesn't happen. Because if you leave the two of them to their devices, or just one or two people on either side of the family, then things can get very ugly very quickly. So in these kinds of things, the responsibility is actually given to the community at large. وَقَدْ كَانَ شَأْنُ الْعَرَبِ أَنْ يَلِيَ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ ذَوِ الرَّأِي مِنْ قَرَابَةِ الْجَانِبَيْنِ. But the way the Arabs used to do this is that, you know, those of you that come from like Southeast Asia or India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, etc., you might be familiar with this notion. The Arabs had it too. When in a village or a tribe, a divorce happens, the elders, that everybody respects their opinion, they have kind of a hearing, you know, the elders sit together and they come together and they decide. And that's actually captured even يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ, the decision makers among you, the elders among you, the respectable among you. وَبَقِيَّةُ الْأُمَّةِ تَأْمُرُ بِالْإِمْتِثَالِ لِذَلِكَ. The rest of the ummah is told, you better live up to this. You better abide by these principles. وَهَذَا شَأْنُ خِطَابَاتِ الْقُرْآنِ فِي التَّشْرِيعِ. And that is the glory, and that is the nature of the way Qur'an talks about matters of law. It doesn't just tell one person, this is halal, this is haram. It puts a responsibility on a community. So even in this divorce matter, the way the assets are divided is actually a communal discussion. We can't enforce it. If somebody's doing the wrong thing, you can't go and force them to not take or take. But at the very least, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِلِسَانِهِ فَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِيَدِهِ فَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ. If you see something wrong happening, try to change it with your hand. If you can, at least speak out against it. At least speak out, or at least hold it against in your hearts. You know. But what happens nowadays is, even if somebody's doing wrong, yeah, you get them, sister. You know, like, it's like everybody else is vicariously living through her vengeance. You know? Or the guy's side. Yo, you better get the meanest lawyer possible and just destroy her. You know? And there are people egging him on. The exact opposite of what the ummah is supposed to do. Here's the exception. إِلَّا أَن يَخَافَ أَلَّا يُقِيمَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ. I'm just baffled by how Allah speaks about the subject. The only time the husband is supposed to, if he gave her things, he shouldn't take them back. Allah says the exception is if both of them cannot live by the limits prescribed by Allah. What in the world does that mean? You know that the word hudud is used in the Quran for the commands of Allah that are the very limits of obedience. Meaning you do anything past them, you're in major trouble. That's where hudud is used. So those of you familiar with Islamic law, the capital punishments of Islam for very grievous crimes are also called hudud. What does this have to do with hudud? There's no haram happening here. There's no stealing and murder happening here. There's no zina happening here. Why is hudud being mentioned? Hudud is being mentioned because Allah is describing the sacred nature of what a marriage is supposed to be. Please listen to this part carefully. A husband and a wife owe each other certain things. They owe each other, you know, respect, dignity, loyalty. They owe each other kind words. They owe each other satisfaction. They owe each other beautification. Remember the words of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma? I dress myself up, I beautify myself. You know, and I love to do that for her, as she loves to do it for me. Because Allah says, لَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. These things that we don't think have to do with the law, when it comes to preserving the dignity of a marriage and the beauty of a marriage, the most serious words in the Quran are used, hududullah. Every mufassir you study on these ayat will say that what this is talking about is if a husband and wife are not able to take care of each other's rights and responsibilities. The basics. The question arises, if they're the basics, why not just say, Allah yuqima hukukahum, al-hukuka baynahuma, hudud Allah? The limits prescribed by Allah? The boundaries of Allah? That's how sacred marriage is. As a matter of fact, human beings were put on this earth, and the only way we were to continue living our lives and having our identities, جَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. The only way شُعُوبًا and قَبَائِل, nations and tribes happen, is the legitimate road of marriage. That's how that was formed. You know, when the prophets were given the responsibility to deliver the message, Quran, because it's in a sense Allah took a contract from prophets that they will deliver the message, it was called مِيثَاقٌ غَلِيظ. مِيثَاقٌ غَلِيظ. And you know what the marriage contract is called? وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. They have taken from you a serious contract, a stern contract, a powerful contract. You know? This is as the bond of marriage and the contract of marriage is as serious as the bond of a messenger and delivering the message to Allah. That's how serious this is. So taking care of our marriages, fulfilling the obligations in our marriages is a very, very serious issue. If either side is afraid that they won't be able to live up to that, if they're just going to do wrong by their husband or their wife, and this is actually hinting in a dignified way at the wife, if the wife will not be able to be good to her husband, if she's not going to be able to control her tongue before him or respect him or, you know, be with him, if she's not attracted to him, he calls her to bed and she's disgusted by it or something, if these things are the case, then she needs to be let go. And if you're going to let her go, then, you know, some of the things you gave her, you're allowed to say, hey, but, you know, you didn't really do your job as a wife and you want to go, can I have a little bit of what I gave you back? Okay, you can take the car, give me a tire at least or something. You know, what you can do with a tire, don't worry about it, just something. So that's what it's talking about. Now, by the way, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ, if you, the community, are sensing, and if you're truly afraid, أَلَّا يُقِيمَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ, that they are not going to be able to abide by the law of Allah, meaning the community is sensing that these two people came together after a divorce, but things are ugly. Things are not good. There's a lot happening between them. And the woman wants to get out of the marriage. Then don't give her a lecture, astaghfirullah, how can you get divorced? This is wrong, good Muslim women don't do this. What's your family going to say? What are your kids going to say? What is your uncle going to say? What is Facebook going to say? What is WhatsApp going to say? What does Allah say? فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَلَيْهِمَا فِي مَفْتَدَتْ بِهِ. Then there is no sin and no harm on either one of them if she were to give some of it up. Give up, literally give a ransom. Give a ransom. In other words, she wants to be free from what is now looking like more like a prison than a marriage. And so Allah uses the word iftida, which is like the freeing of a slave or freeing of a prisoner. She wants to be set free from this marriage. And He says, well, if you want to be set free, then give me something. Can I like give you, because you know, maybe he still owes her mahar. And some of the fuqaha said, it shouldn't exceed the value of mahar because it says, fima iftadat bihi. It's within what she can give up. So you gave her stuff, she says, okay, you gave me the car, keep the car, let me go. You gave me 10,000, just keep 5,000, just let me go. I don't want to be in this marriage anymore. Then when that happens, she has done nothing wrong, and it's actually inclining towards him, let her go. Don't hold on to her. If a wife is coming begging her husband for a divorce, he shouldn't deny her. He shouldn't say, no way, I'll never let you go. I love you. No, but yeah, you can love, but it's a one-way street right now. A marriage is supposed to be a two-way street. If she doesn't like you, she's disgusted by you, she can't live with you. You know, she can't cope. By the way, that's the other interpretation of hududullah. If a woman or a man is, by the way, in a deeply dissatisfying marriage, I brought this up yesterday too. If they are in that kind of a marriage, it's not like shaitan's going to leave them alone. It's not like she's not going to become more vulnerable. It's not like somebody who even gives her a little bit of attention at a restaurant, at the airport, at the campus, at the office, anywhere, on social media, anywhere, that she's not going to be tempted, and she's going to be violating the limits of Allah. It's going to become harder for her to keep her eyes down, to not look. If she's not attracted to her husband, doesn't mean she's not attracted to men, she's a human being. Before she gets to the point where she starts violating the laws of Allah, let her go. Let her go. This is an act of mercy to her. That's not, holding on to her is not love, it's selfishness. If you loved her, why would you wish haram on her? Why would you wish misery on her? This is, you know, this is when people confuse love with ownership, possession. People say, I love this one. But they don't love, they just want to own them. Whether they're miserable or not doesn't matter, but I love you. That's not love, that's just selfishness. That's one's own greed, you know. If true love means you want what is best for them, you want them to be happy. You want them to be happy. And if they're happy with you, well and good. If they're happy without you, then your love should be enough that you let them go. Well, what kind of love is it that you'd rather they stay miserable? That's a lie to yourself. Speaking of that kind of false love, love being confused with what? Greed, selfishness, ownership, possession. Young people do this. I want to marry this girl, man, I love her. Okay, go talk to her family. No, no, her dad will beat me up. Then stop talking to her. But I love her. You're humiliating her family. You're emotionally attaching her to yourself. You have no hopes of getting married to this girl for 5-6 years. Maybe then even the chances of it are bleak. You're not taking any real steps for a dignified relationship. How is this love? This is just you and your hormones. This isn't love. You know? If this really was love, you would want something that is best for her in this dunya and in the akhirah. All this is your own desire. Your own temptation. Don't call that love. You know, love is actually when you're willing to sacrifice for somebody else. That's what a mother has love for her child. That's love. You know? Believers have love for each other when what do? أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They humiliate themselves before other believers. They let them walk all over them. Love is actually a synonymous with sacrifice. This is why لَنْ تَنَعَلُ الْبِرْ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You're not going to attain goodness with Allah until you give up what you love. Because giving up what you love is the ultimate expression of love to Allah. That's goodness. So that distinction, I think we have to be very cautious of. Think about your own relationships. Are they a product of selfishness or actual love? You know? This is a hadith from Bukhari. This is actually a really important one. عن ابن عباس أن امرأة ثابت ابن قيس بن شماس أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The wife of ثابت ابن قيس. Okay? This is the wife of a companion named ثابت ابن قيس. Came to the Prophet. فقالت يا رسول الله ما أعتب عليه في خلق ولا دين. She was amazing. She doesn't like her husband. She's not attracted to her husband. You know what she says to the Prophet? She doesn't say, oh, he ugly. I can't even look at him. My eyes bleed. No, she didn't say none of that. What does she say instead? She says, I have nothing to criticize about him when it comes to his character, nor his religion. I got no complaints about his character, and he's a good religious man. She's saying in between the lines, there is stuff that I want to criticize, but I'm embarrassed to say, but she doesn't say it. And the Prophet ﷺ is ingenious. He doesn't say, well, what do you criticize then? Well, he kind of fat. Or smelly, or whatever. She doesn't say it. He doesn't ask. He gets it. ولكن, and then what does she say next? وَلَكِنْ أَكْرَهُ الْكُفْرَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. These are beautiful people. She says, I don't criticize his character. I don't criticize his religion. But I would hate to disbelieve after Islam. I would hate to do kufr while I'm still a Muslim. What? What does that mean? That means, Ya Rasulullah, I am now starting to get tempted. My mind wanders. I can't think of myself intimately with him. And other men are starting to look attractive. And my mind goes to crazy places. And I know that's kufr. I know that's disbelief after Islam. How can that be Islam? I can't stand it anymore. I can't stand these feelings inside me anymore. I hate that I feel this way. I hate this despair. That's what she says to the Prophet ﷺ. You know, in this hadith, we are learning something amazing. A dissatisfied wife who is stuck in that kind of marriage, and she's in despair and she's having those thoughts, is not alone. This was even experienced by sahabiyat. That happened to them. And they knew that those feelings, that despair, is not because they're bad people, or because they're hormonal, or because they've watched too much TV, or they're addicted to Indian movies or something. It's because Allah put that in our nature. To be in a wholesome relationship, to be with someone that you're attracted to, that you're infatuated with, that you can actually love, that you can be best friends with, to have true companionship with. These are desires Allah put inside human beings naturally. She's not finding that in her husband. Islam and character are not enough. Not for her. What does she say? His character is good. His deen is good. He's a good, honest man. He's a religious man. Those things are great. I don't see any chemistry. I have no connection. You know what people come and say when a woman is about to get divorced? Such a good Muslim. What a good person. You're still going to divorce him? Yeah. Yeah. Because that's not all there is. You know? This is an incredible completion of that famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A woman is married for four things. For her religion. For her family. For her economic status, for her beauty. Hold on to the one that has religion. Because then, taribat yadak. So, taribat yadak actually is, how do I explain taribat yadak to you guys? It's like, the closest thing to that in the English, you can't literally translate it. You'd have to say, then, you're set, bro. You're good. In other words, if she's beautiful, and on top of that she's got religion, hey. It's all good. That's amazing. You just You just killed it. You know how in Arabic, in English also, sometimes we use a bad word or a negative phrase to describe something amazing? Man, I watched that game and it killed me. And when you say it killed you, or that doesn't mean that it was horrible, that actually means what? It was amazing. That's kind of like taribat yadak. If you find that kind of girl, kill her, bro. Taribat yadak literally means your hands have now touched the dust. In other words, you're destitute. Faqr is actually, you know, you're bankrupt. But it's actually in the opposite sense. Like the Urdu speakers say, oh, mar gaya yaar. That's like a good thing. That's how the Arabs use it too. That's why they would use taqiratka ummuk and taribat yadak and these phrases like that. Anyway, the point I was trying to make was, yes, religion is a great thing, but it's not the only thing. Rasulullah ﷺ says, a woman can be married for any number of these things. But I mean, if you find a woman that you like, and then she has religion on top of that, that's an incredible combination. Then you're set for life, you know? But religion alone is not enough. If she's very religious, but you're not attracted to her, what's gonna mess you up? She makes salah, you can say, she makes salah, she does so much dhikr. You know, she reminds me of the akhirah, because when I look at her, I lose all temptation of dunya. So I guess the only thing left is akhirah. Sorry, bad jokes, but can't help it. Religion itself is not enough. Family status is not enough. Resume is not enough. There has to be something that really compels you in this marriage, that you can hold on to. You know? And this woman came and said, that's what it is. I'm not tempted. I'm not drawn to him. I'm not attracted to him. I don't want to be with him. But she didn't spell it out. She described it as what? أَكْرَهُ الْكُفْرَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. So beautiful. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَتَرُدِّينَ عَلَيْهِ حَدِيقَتَهُ. The Prophet knew that he had given her a garden. He said, are you going to give her the garden back? Are you going to give him the garden back? She says, nah, yep, I don't care about the garden. I just don't want to be married. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اقبل الحديقة وطلقها تطليقة. Take the garden, he said to the guy, and let her go once and for all. Let her go once and for all. That's a man of good character. He wasn't abusive, which means that he was good to her, yes? And he's good with Allah and he's good to her. Nowadays you would say, well, he's not abusive, he's not beating you, he's not humiliating you, he's not insulting you, he's not starving you, why are you divorcing? If these were legitimate questions, my messenger would have asked them first. If these were legitimate questions. None of these were legitimate questions. The only question was, she can't take it anymore. So he says, take the garden, let her go. And let her go once and for all. تطليقتن, this is actually at the مفعول مطلق, مبالغ at the end. Why? Because he knows that once he lets her go, because she's pretty and he's not, he's going to want her back. So she's still got 3 months. So he may have given her talaq then, and then within 3 months he's going to be like, hey, come on back. The Prophet says, let her go and don't get her back. Just set her free. Completely set her free. Subhanallah. That is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. That's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Not to guilt trip and shame and humiliate a woman who's seeking a divorce. To actually set her free. And did she give a long lecture? Did she give a long speech explaining herself? All she said was, I'm falling into kufr. I would hate to. That's all she said. That's enough. You don't say, oh, what's the matter? Can't control yourself? Why don't you recite some more Quran? You should fast some more. You should do qiyamul layl. Join a halaqah. Do yoga. You know? Nothing. There was no advice. You know? Take some courses at the college. You know, keep yourself busy. None of it. Our deen is so liberating, it's so beautiful. Then Allah says, all of this that was just described, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. Those are the limits set by Allah. That is the prescribed boundary of Allah. فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. Don't violate that. Don't violate them. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And those who cross the limits set by Allah, those in fact are the ones that have done the ultimate wrong. May Allah not make us from those that have done wrong. فَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا. How many times can you give a divorce and take her back? Twice. But if he divorces her finally, meaning a third time, if this happened again, a third time, فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ. Then she is no longer halal for him. She is no longer halal for him. I didn't explain this in brief. I'll summarize it for you. Let's say somebody married or divorced their wife. 3 cycles went by. Within those 3 cycles, he can take her back. Let's say 3 cycles went by and he didn't take her back. Okay? Now, at the end of those 3 cycles, she is a free woman. They're no longer married. But he could still ask to marry her again. And she has a choice. If she wants to marry him again, that's her choice. But it's a new marriage. That's a new marriage altogether, okay? Let's say they got remarried. By the way, within those 3 months, it's not a remarriage. But after those 3 months, or 3 cycles, it has to be a what? A remarriage. A new marriage altogether. Now they got remarried. And this happened again. And 3 months went by. And he didn't take her back. She's on her own again. They could still potentially get what? Remarried. But if this happens a 3rd time, not only is there no waiting period, but he can't marry her again. He cannot marry her again. Not allowed. She's haram for him now. Hatta, she's not allowed for him. Immediately after that, min ba'du, min here is for ta'jil, hatta tankiha zawjan ghayrahu, until she marries a husband other than him. He can't marry her again, she'd have to get married to somebody else. And live a normal married life. And by the way, nakaha, the verb in Arabic, actually means to be intimate. So not only does she get married with someone else, she slept with someone else in her marriage. She's fulfilled that. She's actually been intimate with another man. And that will be described by the Prophet. Now how disturbing is it for a man to think his woman is going to be with somebody else? Why does Allah do that? Because you made a joke out of the marriage. You kept divorcing her. You kept letting her go. Then you bring her back. Then you let her go. Then you bring her back. No, no, no. You want to keep playing these games? You want to keep playing these games? Then no. Then you need to suffer. You think you own her? Allah will make sure you understand that you don't own her. She'll have to marry somebody else. And what did people start doing? People said, oh, I got a solution to this. I'll pay somebody some money. It's called halala. I'll pay somebody some money. They'll marry her on paper for 24 hours. And then divorce her and I can marry her again. But actually, it's not until she's intimate with someone else. And if somebody does this for that reason, we'll get to that. Now, عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رجلا طلق امرأته ثلاثا فتزوجت فطلق. A man had already divorced his wife 3 times, Aisha tells us. And 3 times happened. Then she married somebody else. And that guy immediately divorced her. Meaning the first day of marriage he divorced her. They weren't even together. So, إِلَى النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet was asked, أَتَحِلُّ لِلْأَوَّلِ, can she go back to the first husband? Because she was already married, divorced from the first one 3 times already. She married this new guy, but it didn't last not even 24 hours and she was never intimate with him. They married and basically he got cold feet and said, I'm out, I'm done. And he got divorced. So she was asked by the Prophet was asked, can she go back to the first husband now? La. He said, nope. حتى يذوق عسيلتها كما ذاق الأول. Until he tastes her honey like the first one has. That's what the Prophet says, alayhi salam. You know? Explicit. Just so somebody understands how serious this is. Divorce is not to be taken as a joke. Then you find the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الواشمة والمستوشمة والواصلة والمستوصلة. But the part of this hadith that's pertinent for us, والمحلل والمحلل له. Allah's Messenger cursed the one who makes halala, gets an artificial husband to do a fake marriage and then a divorce so you can get the first one back. The one who does it and the one who asks to get it done, all of them are cursed by Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our Messenger, rahmatul lil alameen, doesn't normally curse anybody. That's not normal for the Prophet to curse anyone. So, when he curses someone, they gotta be some serious kind of... And by the way, the very next people are wa'akilur riba wal-mukila. The one who consumes riba and the one who makes others consume riba. Is put in the same category. So, it's no joke. فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَن يَتَرَاجَعَ. By the way, so here's what happens. These people had a rocky relationship. They got together. Not, you know, because divorce doesn't just happen for vindictive reasons. Some people just have a love-hate relationship. What are you going to do? When she loves him, when they love each other, they're crazy. There couldn't be a sweeter love. When they hate each other, it's like Adam and Iblis. Like, it's like straight up epic war. And these people, they get divorced. And then they hate each other. They almost killed each other. And 4 months later, I miss you. I miss you too. We're crazy, right? Yes, we are. For each other. Let's do this again. And they get back. And then 6 months later, they're burning the house down again. And they get divorced. And then a year from then, hey, do you miss me? Yeah, like crazy. Let's get remarried. So it could be there are people that have these crazy relationships. And they can't get out of them. They're emotionally, can't live with them, can't live without them. And for them, if it came to 3 divorces, maybe that didn't happen because they were playing with Allah's law. It's just they're in this psychotic relationship. What are you going to do? And then she married somebody else. And she thought to herself, I'm just going to move on. I'm going to marry somebody else. And she marries somebody else. And she's not able to fulfill her obligations as a wife. And she's not able to be happy or make her husband happy. And he divorces her too. Not for deliberate reasons, but she's too scarred from a previous thing or whatever else, or things didn't work out and they got divorced. And now she's thinking about the first one again. So Allah says, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا يَتَرَاجَعَا. There's no harm on them for them to come back. It's okay. But if they do come back, إِنْ ظَنَّا أَن يُقِيمَا حُدُودَ اللَّهِ, if they're both convinced this time it's for good, they're going to abide by the limits prescribed by Allah. No more divorces. No more. You got to let that stuff go. And if that's really what you're convinced of, then come back. وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ, and those are the limits prescribed by Allah. يُبَيِّنُهَا لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ, He clarifies them for people who want to try to know. People who are trying to find out. Notice Allah could have just given us talaq is twice, do this, do that, done. Allah Azza wa Jalla describes it in such a human way because these relationships are complicated. You know, there's a lot of emotion involved. There's a lot of complexity involved. Allah is sensitive to that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He'll little by little break apart every piece of this puzzle. Every piece of this. And you know, I know a lot of young people are listening to this. These rules are like, why are young people hearing about talaq? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Actually, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that they're listening. And we hope that our sons and daughters have good marriages. And they understand the seriousness of what it means to come into a marriage. And what it means to, if things don't work out. But they have to be realistic about it. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. There's no such thing. You know, a lot of people say that, the match is made in heaven. Allah made the pairs. We believe that. Allah made the pairs. There's so much romantic poetry. Some guy who's looking to get married, he's like, the woman of my dreams, my future wife, is looking at the same full moon right now. She's not. You're in America. She's in Pakistan. She's got a bright sun up. But anyway, there's cute things to say like that and how this is going to last forever and things like that. You know what people don't realize? If you study Surah Al-Talaq, which is a surah dedicated to one subject, which is what? Talaq. If you go to the end of the surah, there's only one ayah that has nothing to do with talaq. يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنَّ Allah says, Allah created the skies and the earth, and He sends the decision from between the 7 skies, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ وَأَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا He sends the decision from the skies so you could know Allah is capable to do everything. And He put a limit on all things. What is Allah telling us in Surah Al-Talaq? Just like the pairs are made in Jannah, sometimes when something has a limit, because Allah put a limit on all things, that limit also came from the heavens. Sometimes the nikah was written and the talaq was also written. That it had to come to an end at one point. Subhanallah. You should know that's also the qadr of Allah. You shouldn't sit there and go, but Allah made the pairs. Why did it break? Allah also made the prayers, and Allah also said in some things, Allah has prescribed everything has a limit. And there's a reason that's at the end of Surah Al-Talaq. But that's also a heavenly decision sometimes. Don't think of it as a curse. Our religion does not treat divorce as a curse. It's actually a mercy from Allah in cases. Again, if they're not able to abide by what Allah made a marriage to be, then it's better that they don't wrong each other. Why stand in front of Allah on Judgment Day and describe a woman that you have done wrong to for 30 years? and a woman stands there and says, I wasn't right with him for 30 years. Why would you want that? You know? So I'm about to give you a break, but just one last piece here. وَإِذَا تَلَقْتُمُهُنَّ وَإِذَا تَلَقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ When the time comes that you are actually going to divorce women, فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ And they've reached their deadline. I've said this enough times now, the deadline is 3 cycles. فَأَمْسِكُهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ Then you better take them back in a dignified way. We talked about that before too. Allah is repeating it now. أَوْسَرِّحُهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ Or you better release them, let them go easily. Comfortably, in a dignified way. Now it's ma'ruf, at least ma'ruf. وَلَا تُمْسِكُهُنَّ ضِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا This is the part I'll conclude with. وَلَا تُمْسِكُهُنَّ ضِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا Don't hold on to them. ضِرَارًا could be hal. Here's how that would be translated. Don't hold on to them while doing wrong, while causing harm. Don't hold on to them abusively. Don't hold on to them, you know, angrily. Another meaning of diran could be maf'ulun lahu, which would mean, don't hold on to them for the purpose of doing abuse. Don't hold on to them for the purpose of causing harm. Woman, you're gonna leave me? Oh, I'll see. I'll show you. And he just takes her back to abuse her more. لِتَعْتَدُوا For the eventual outcome that you will cross Allah's lines. You haven't just wronged her, you've wronged with Allah. وَمَن يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ لِتَعْتَدُوا Here is, you violated against them, but you violated against Allah also. And don't hold them back so that for the purpose of crossing that line. نَزَلَتْ فِي رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْأَنصَارِ This is the story now, and we tie this up. This ayah came talking about a man from the Ansar. يُدْعَى ثَابِتُ بْنُ يَسَارِ طَلَّقَ إِمْرَأَتَهُ It's a pretty cute story actually. ثَابِتِ بْنُ يَسَارِ divorced his wife. حَتَّى إِذَا انْقَضَتْ عِدَّتَهَا إِلَّا يَوْمَيْن وَثَلَاثَ رَاجَعَهَا There was only 3 days left for her 3 month cycle to be over. And he said, come back. So she came back. They stayed married a few months. ثُمَّ طَلَّقَهَا Then he divorced her again. فَفَعَلَ ذَلِكَ بِهَا حَتَّى مَضَتْ لَهَا تِسْعَةَ أَشْهُرٍ Then he did that with her again. And 9 months went by between take back and go, take back and go. Twice this already happened. You're not supposed to do it a third time because it's done for good, right? مُضَارَّةً يُضَارُّهَا And he did this out of vengeance. He was actually upset with her and he wanted to hurt her. And that's why he did it. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى By the way, this is a Sahabi, who's vindictive against his wife. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ The best people. What are you learning? You're learning that relationships are complicated and best people can get up messed up in relationships too. You could be good in a lot of things, but that doesn't mean you're good in everything. You know, that you're an angel across the board. Troubled marriages is not just because somebody's more Islamic, they're not going to have a troubled marriage. How are you going to get more Islamic than a Sahabi? You can still have troubled relationships. You can still have divorces. It's not a matter of iman. Don't tell someone they're having a hard time in their marriage because they don't have iman. That's an idiotic thing to say. Plenty of people with lots of iman had trouble in marriages. And both good people. Husband and wife, good people, but they don't get along. Like the Sahabiya, she was a good person. Her husband's a good guy religiously, but can't do it. Now the Sahabi is actually vindictive towards his wife. Now, he kept taking her back, and so Allah said, لَا تُمْسِكُهُنَّ ضِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا Don't take them back to cause them harm, because you'll be crossing the line. Meaning even the Sahaba were reprimanded, this is not something you can get away with. Our deen came in, you know, this is my last comment, because I'm not going to read any more of this to you, inshallah, until after the break. Our deen did not just give us guidelines for how to worship Allah. And for a lot of people, religion has already been secularized. You know what that means? Religion only belongs in certain parts of your life. Prayer, ritual, halal meat, that's your Islam, Eid, Ramadan, your Islam is done. The Quran paints a picture. Quran and your service to Allah has a very relevant role inside the house. Between your relationship with your spouse. Allah intervenes in everything that you do, especially when it comes to the rights and responsibilities you owe towards others. It's a very, very living religion. And when people are very good in rituals, perfect in salah, great with fasting, umrah every year, 10 hajj under their belt, but no good to their spouse, you know, doing khatam of the Quran every month, how are you reciting these ayat and then treating your wife like that? How are you doing that? You know? How is that not كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا? Like a mule carrying books on their backs. Don't relegate your religion to one thing or two things, just to certain acts of worship. That's why these ayat are, they have to be brought to life over and over and over again. And inshallah ta'ala, as we, I haven't even finished this ayah, because the rest of this ayah is just wa'id. Just Allah saying, how dare you? How dare you? Over and over and over again. But we'll get to that and some other important lessons. I'll stop it here inshallah. Take a 15-minute break. I've held you for a while. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.